everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jen Wolf. That is Nick Wright. This right here is Chris Caney.
What
good
up,
morning,
man?
Chris.
What's up, brother?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah,
got a little bling.
You know, it's this time of year, you got to remind folks that you got one of these conference championship weekend.
Got some girth to that thing.
A little bling. Like went and got a shine.
You're
up
the
at
only
Tiffany's.
Hand that thing probably looks average size on. That would be a bracelet for me.
That's
to
awesome.
To be honest.
Man,
good
how
stuff.
Do you think one of those is going to look on Patrick Mahomes' hand here?
Oh, I think it's going to look phenomenal because you and I, coming,
you and I both,
coming maybe, into the season.
Can't even do a fist bump right now. Break my damn hand.
We are going to tap into all of that Super Bowl experience this morning. We're just 2 days away from championship weekend. We got three jam-packed hours to give you everything you need to know starting in the NFC. See this morning. Here we go. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers will be in San Francisco to face Jimmy G and the 49ers Sunday, 6 p.m. on Fox. The winner goes to Super Bowl 54. The loser doesn't. These two teams met back in Week 12. Didn't go so well for Green Bay then. They lost by 29 points. That was then. This is now. Nick, who wins this game?
So this is really, really tough. Because the indicators, the metrics, I think the smart numbers say San Francisco is the more well-rounded team. They annihilated the Packers in their first matchup, and they're at home. I, however, cannot get past this. On one side of the ledger, I have Aaron Rodgers, and on the other side of the ledger, I have Jimmy Garoppolo. On one side of the ledger, we've got one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen, and a guy who is on a very short list of players at that position whose all-time great performance maintains in the postseason. There are guys who we consider better quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers, but who in their history in the postseason, they are not what they are in the regular season. Aaron is. Aaron's got the best passer rating in NFL history in the regular season, and it's almost identical to his postseason passer rating. And the moment that this is being presented for him, I think he's going to channel some of that 2012, 2013, 2014 Aaron Rodgers magic that we saw him channel some of in the playoff game against Seattle when he was given the opportunity, when he had to make a play. And I think the moment might be a little too big for Jimmy Garoppolo, who quietly, Canty, was actually really bad against the Vikings. Like, it didn't matter. He only had to complete 11 passes. They were in full control of that game. Diggs gets the touchdown. Then after that, it's all Niners for 2.5 hours of football. And Jimmy G obviously has had some great moments this year. He was great in the game against the Saints. He was very good in the final game of the year against Seattle. I still think that if the Packers' offensive line can hold up, with Bakhtiari and Bulaga, two guys that I think you said you believe to be maybe the best pair of tackles in football.
Who are actually healthy now.
Yeah, Bulaga's actually playing this week, unlike Week 12. If they can hold up, it's going to be just enough for somehow Aaron Rodgers to lead this team to a very close major upset victory on the road against the Niners.
Yeah, it's funny. I see this one the same way you do. I like the Green Bay Packers in this game, and I know all of the metrics say that the San Francisco 49ers are the more complete team, but you look at the disparity between quarterbacks and the experience that the quarterbacks have on this stage. It has to be a little bit concerning if you're a 49ers fan because Jimmy G wasn't great against the Vikings. He had that interception that he threw right before halftime in the Vikings game, and guess what? It could have been a different game if the Vikings were able to convert that into a touchdown, but they weren't. So you have to credit the 49ers defense. But when you look at the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, I mean, you saw him channel a little bit of that magic against the Seahawks. I didn't realize this till I went back and looked at the numbers, but Aaron Rodgers didn't throw an incompletion on a pass that traveled more than 10 yards in the air.
He's perfect.
He didn't. He's perfect. So, I mean, if you have a quarterback that's capable of being able to push the ball down the field with that type of precision, it bodes well for you in a game like this. Because you got to think that Aaron Rodgers is going to have to extend the down. He is going to have to go off schedule because you are facing a disruptive front with the San Francisco 49ers. So Aaron Rodgers, if he's able to be able to elude that front a little bit better than he did in their first matchup in the regular season, I think that the Packers will have opportunities for big plays in the passing game down the field.
You talk about the quarterback disparity. If you match these two teams up, besides the quarterback, is there a position, including the head coach, where the Packers come out on top, where the Packers have the edge or the advantage, any position on the team, including the coaching staff?
It depends on how you look at it. If you go running backs versus running backs, pass rush versus pass rush, the answer is probably no. But if you go the Packers pass rush against the people who are going to have to stop it, the Niners offensive line, I think they can play them to a wash there. Now, the Niners have an excellent offensive line, an offensive line that had been banged up during the year is healthier now. But where I think the point that you were making about experience, I think is very, very important, because it's not just, by the way, Aaron Rodgers that has more experience. This Packers team as a whole has more experience, not at the head coaching spot, but the players as a whole have more experience at this moment, this part of the season, than the Niners do. And the one other element here that I find interesting that I want to draw on your experience for is the Packers are 7.5-point dogs, depending on where you get it, 7 to 8-point dogs. You were on a team that was an 8-point underdog to the Green Bay Packers, granted a round earlier, the divisional round in 2011. Aside from the quarterbacks, what do the other guys on a team that is a major underdog have to do in order to pull off what would be a substantial upset? The Packers are as big of underdogs this weekend as the Titans are, even if we both look at those games very differently. What do the other guys have to do to help Aaron Rodgers out to pull off this type of upset?
Well, I think the other guys have to understand the game plan and understand their role within that. Now, one of the things that I like about Green Bay is that offensively, they're going against a similar defensive scheme that they faced in the Seahawks in the 49ers, because it's going to be a lot of single high safety looks, whether it's man coverage or whether it's cover three. That's what they're going to be going up against. And I think that this offense has some answers for that. If you look at what they did against the Seattle Seahawks, Matt LaFleur moved the pocket a whole lot. Quick targets for Aaron Rodgers in the flat. It was easy. One read, two read. And if it's not there, throw the football away. I think he's going to have to do something similar in this matchup. You're going to have to move the launch point, because you know you can't drop back and expect your offensive line to hold up, pass in, pass out against that defensive front. We talked about it before with the 49ers D-line. They have four guys that have 6.5 sacks or more on the season. So it's a very talented group. You can't expect your offensive line to be able to hold those guys at bay the entire game. So you've got to be able to have answers to combat that. And I think one of the answers is moving the pocket and getting the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands quickly.
Screens and draws as well is another element to get the Niners pass rush off balance. But it should be noted, Aaron Rodgers has been historically unfortunate in regards to how his defense has played in playoff games they've lost. The average points given up by a Packers team in a playoff loss since Rodgers has taken over is over 36 points per game. The defense has not been able to get off the field in Aaron Rodgers' 7 playoff losses. Also, the quarterbacks he's lost to in the playoffs: Kurt Warner in a year that the Cardinals were en route to the Super Bowl, Eli Manning after he had already won a championship, Cap twice when Cap was at the peak of his powers, Russell Wilson as a defending Super Bowl champion, Carson Palmer the year he was, I think, second in MVP voting, and then Matt Ryan the year he won the MVP. That's the full list. There's not a single quarterback with the profile of Jimmy Garoppolo that has beaten an Aaron Rodgers-led Packers team. Now, they haven't played many teams as well-rounded as San Francisco, and I'm not trying to make it sound like either one of us think this is a mismatch in the Packers' favor, because I don't think we do, but I don't think they should be 7-point underdogs, and I do think if it is close late, it favors Green Bay because of the experience and the talent at the quarterback position. Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes. That doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you, even on nights and weekends. They're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right, so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
on to the AFC title game now. Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites over the Titans, according to our guys at Fox Bet. But Derrick Henry's been unstoppable, and the Titans have won the last four games against KC. Nick Wright, do the Titans have any shot at pulling off the upset in this one?
I can't see it. I can't see the scenario in which Tennessee goes into the building of the hottest team in the entire NFL and does what they did to the Ravens. Now, one might say, well, the Ravens were the hottest team in the whole NFL until Tennessee beat them. That is correct. But the Ravens' game plan is so drastically different than what the Chiefs' game plan will be. And in that football game, the Titans had a de facto plus five in the plus minus, right? Mm-hmm. They had three legitimate turnovers forced, two turnovers on downs that we can call turnovers. So they won the turnover margin by five. They own, in that football game, they scored touchdowns, three short field touchdowns because of the turnovers and turnover on downs. They only had one extended drive the entire game, the drive where Derrick Henry had the 66-yard run on third and one, and they still were only able to manage 28 points. Listen, the 28 points ain't gonna get it done this weekend in Arrowhead. You are going to need to get into the 30s, and that hopefully for the Titans will be enough to keep it close. That if you were paying attention to the Chiefs, as Canty as I know you were, you saw this coming a couple months ago. When they went 2-1, when Patrick Mahomes was out, the game he got hurt plus the two games without him. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, two of those games were against Green Bay and Minnesota. Yep. When they showed, oh, wait, this defense could be turning a corner. And then the fact that since Mahomes has been back after the Titans game, they're not only undefeated, they have whooped everybody. They're 7-0 with an average margin of victory of 17 points. There is no credible path for Tennessee to come to Arrowhead barring Kansas City repeatedly shooting itself in the foot, but they did that against Houston, a team that was better than Tennessee this year, and they still beat them by 20 points. So I'd love to add a level of intrigue or a level of suspense to this game, and there will be intrigue or suspense no matter who the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl, because either one of those teams are going to be excellent teams.
But you don't see it in this.
No, it's the same way I feel about the Texans game. This would be a shocking, shocking loss if Tennessee pulls it off.
I'm with you that it would be a shocking loss, but I completely disagree with you in terms of not being able to see a path for the Titans to be able to pull off an upset. I mean, we know what the Titans' formula is. We're going to run the football, and we're going to play bend but don't break defense and rely on our guys being opportunistic on that side of the ball. They've got multiple turnovers in both playoff games. They actually had a defensive score in that regular season matchup against the Chiefs. I think it was the Rashad Evans scoop and score in the second quarter. And then they had a block kick at the end of the game to seal the victory. So you know what the Titans are going to do. You know how they're going to try to play this game. They want to keep it close, one possession game, so they don't have to rely on Ryan Tannehill to be a volume passer. They want to keep the ball in Derrick Henry's hands on the offensive side of the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball, it's all about being able to steal extra possessions. There's a reason why this defense was top 10 in takeaways. That's a part of what their defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, preaches. Knowing the personnel that they have, I don't think they match up very well against Kansas City in that track meet that they have with their skill position players on that side. I just think that you have to rely on being able to have some deflections, some takeaways, tip passes, fumbles, things like that in order to give yourself an opportunity. But based on how the Chiefs played last week against the Texans, it's not outside of the realm of possibility to see the Chiefs play a sloppy game.
Well, I totally get all that. And they have a phenomenal first gear. And Derrick Henry's been sensational. But if they fall behind early, what's their second gear? What do they do?
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, Jenna, they fell behind early in the regular season game. They were down 10-0 in that game.
But they didn't fall behind to an – right, except that what you saw from this Kansas City offense last week is they can put up a ton of points, and there's just a lot that Ryan Tannehill would have to overcome.
No, it is a lot that Ryan Tannehill will have to overcome. And at some point, I do believe he's going to have to make some throws. I don't think they're going to make it through this game with him not throwing for at least 100 yards. So that's something that remains to be seen on whether or not he can make the requisite plays based on the looks that they're getting from that Chiefs defense when they load up to stop Derrick Henry and they put extra defenders in the box. But, I mean, as far as the Titans are concerned, they're not going to get away from what they do. They're 8-0 when Derrick Henry rushes for over 100 yards. So they are going to feed Derrick Henry, stay with the running game as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, with respect, I think they're going to be forced to get away from what they do. They are drawing dead at stopping the Chiefs' passing attack. This is the league's 24th ranked pass defense, 31st ranked red zone defense. Pardon me. Now, in the postseason, that red zone defense has been extraordinary. 7 red zone trips for their opponent. They've only allowed 2 touchdowns, and it's one of the reasons they've had the success that they've had. Since Ryan Tannehill's become their quarterback, they are a historically great red zone offense. 87% in the regular season since Ryan Tannehill became their quarterback, which is totally unprecedented. Next best team in the league, I think, was Tampa in the low 70s. But their red zone defense will not be able to do what it did in the regular season against Kansas City in Patrick's first game back, which has forced the Chiefs to kick 4 field goals from the 25-yard line or inside. They, in order to win that first matchup in the final seconds, they didn't just need the scoop and score. They didn't just need the 4 Chiefs deep drives to end in 3 instead of 7, 4 separate times. They also needed one of the wildest finishes we saw in the NFL all season long. And the Chiefs, despite all that, still had a field goal at the gun to force overtime, and it just gets blocked. This is not disrespectful to the Titans. They are playing a team that is the last year was arguably the best team in the NFL and faced a team that was on its last breaths of a dynasty, and they ended up beating the Chiefs in overtime. And this year, when the quarterback's been healthy, is the best team in the NFL. And the quarterback is absolutely the healthiest he has been right now since week 1. We saw the Texans hold Tyreek Hill to less than 60 yards receiving, and the Chiefs put up half a 100. And they did it in 2.5 quarters. I'd love to be able to sit here and say, there's nothing safer, by the way, for me than to make the case why Tennessee can win. Because I'm already so far all in on the Chiefs. I'd love to be able to sit here on a Friday and be like, well, I'm scared about the game. I think the Chiefs win a close one. That way on Monday, I have a bit of a hedge. But it's not what I see. It's not what I believe. The Chiefs will be tested once in the postseason. It will be in the Super Bowl against either the Packers or the 49ers.
Listen, you know you and I are on the same corner in terms of the Chiefs being able to win this game. But, I mean, you go back to the regular season matchup between the Titans and the Chiefs. There are a lot of Chiefs mistakes that kept them from taking advantage of scoring opportunities. Like, you bring up how good the Titans were in the red zone. I don't know if it was a product of them being good or the Kansas City Chiefs getting in their own way, because an OPI by Tyreek Hill took away a touchdown.
Yep.
I mean, you took points off the board from the mistakes that you've made. And the first foray into the playoffs for this Chiefs team, we saw a lot of mistakes in the first quarter. Exactly. Right. So it's not going to be Bill O'Brien on the other sideline this week to be able to have some coaching gas to spot you points. So I think this is a situation where the Chiefs have to play a much cleaner game. And it's not something that we've seen them do consistently, which is play mistake-free football.
And the one other thing I'll say is this, and I know everyone all week is making Derrick Henry to be the best player in football. Derrick Henry's on one of the greatest 3-game stretches anyone's ever had. And by the way, he's one of the greatest high school football players ever as far as at that position, what he did statistically. Had an unbelievable career at Alabama. And the last 16 weeks in the NFL, his last, I think, 20 games in the league or so, he has been sensational.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving him full respect. He's not the greatest running back in league history. What they are relying, what the discussion around him right now is, will he be held under a buck 50? A buck 50 over the course of a season, what would that be, Canty? That's a 2,400-yard season. Yep. If you did a buck 50 every single week. Like, Derrick Henry, a good game for a running back, a great game for a running back, is 95 to 100 yards. People are just giving Derrick Henry that in the first half. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that 4 consecutive weeks, because the last guy we saw do that was Walter Payton, and the guy before that was O.J. Simpson. It's been a long time since we've seen a running back do what people are just assigning that Derrick Henry will do. I don't see that happening either.
We'll see if Chris Jones is healthy too, though, because that could make a big difference in terms of what type of production Tennessee gets in the ground game.
It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/FTF. That's ziprecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, on to the Packers and 49ers now in the NFC Championship on Sunday on Fox. When these teams faced off back in Week 12, it was no contest. San Francisco took the lopsided win. Aaron Rodgers had a game to forget by all accounts, but he says he's using what happened then as motivation now.
You know, I think if you look at this game, they're definitely favored by, 7.5, Tom, is that right? So they're, you know, obviously expected to hold court and win, and people know and are talking about how we played the last time. So I think if you look at pressure, the pressure's in a certain place, and we should be nice and loose.
Well, easier said than done. Do you agree with Aaron Rodgers, the pressure's with the other guys?
I think the pressure's with the 49ers, but I think there's very unique pressure on Rodgers. I think there's very unique pressure on Rodgers because...
Rodgers himself.
Yes, yeah. I think team-wise, way more pressure on the Niners. They've been the better team. They already beat them. They're at home. They're favored. Individually, there is more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than there is anyone else involved in this football game. Any coach, any other player, because he's the oldest person involved of any that has any real account for the game, and he is the one with the biggest legacy. And that's how this always works, is that the guys who have been the best have the most pressure on them to continue being the best, and the guys who have the most to gain have the most pressure. I think Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Jimmy Garoppolo, the kind of triumvirate in San Francisco, rightfully believe we should win this game, we should go to the Super Bowl, we should maybe even win the Super Bowl. But if we don't, we're going to be right back around here next year. Mm-hmm. We have been building towards this year. This is the first year in our window. I think Aaron Rodgers probably looks at it as, man, I'm going to be 37 next season. Last year, I got hurt the first week of the year, played through it, but it clearly hampered my play. The year before that, Anthony Barr lands on me, snaps my collarbone. The year is ruined. A few years before that, I get my collarbone broken, and even though he came back and they made the playoffs, I think he knows, man, if I don't cash in on this opportunity, how many more opportunities am I going to have? So I think there is and he also knows, Canty, the Niners have a lot of ways to win. Green Bay's got one. I've got to be sensational. I have to avoid the rush. I have to hit every open receiver and a bunch of not open receivers. So I think there is unique pressure on Rodgers individually, even if the overall pressure's on the favored home team number one seed.
Yeah, there's pressure on both sides, albeit it's very different. For Aaron Rodgers, he's trying to get back to the big game, and you recognize that this might be his last best chance in order to get that done. You're a 13-win team for a reason. You look at the offense, and you look at the skill positions that they've tried to surround him with. I think he's probably got one of the better supporting casts that he's had this decade, because you got a 1,000-yard rusher in Aaron Jones, and you still have Devontae Adams, who is a bona fide number one receiver. And then, of course, defensively, even though they're not great, they do have the ability to be disruptive and pressure the opposing quarterback. So I do think things are set up for Aaron Rodgers to be able to have success, and I think that Aaron Rodgers is equipped to be able to handle the pressure, knowing that this is one of the better teams that he's had around him this entire decade. Now, when you look at the 49ers, that to me is the biggest question. How do they deal with the pressure? Because this is a young team. This is their first rodeo in being in a championship game atmosphere. And I don't think you can prepare for the intensity, the overall nerves, the anxiety that you're going to feel when you go out there and you take that field. So I wonder how Kyle Shanahan is going to get his team settled down in this game early. More importantly, I wonder how he's going to get his quarterback settled down early, because we all talked about it. The only question mark about this San Francisco 49ers team is whether or not you can trust the quarterback. It's a championship roster when you look at all the other position groups.
And it feels like for the Packers, the only area that's not a question mark is the quarterback position. You almost have this feel like the game means more for Aaron Rodgers himself than it does for the Green Bay Packers just because of where he came from and what lies in front of
him. Yes, this is the same thing with LeBron. Like with the before he got to the Lakers. Lakers is a different story kind of. But with the finals against the Warriors, where it was the Warriors against LeBron. It was a referendum on him. It wasn't a referendum on the Cavs. And I understand the Packers are a historic organization, but they don't have any historic players or coaches on that team other than Aaron. They have some good players, and Matt LaFleur might turn into a historic coach. Who knows? Win a Super Bowl your first year. It's a hell of a start. But Aaron's got so much to gain here in that I was discussing earlier, one of only four quarterbacks ever with a 100 passer rating or above in the postseason. The other guys are Bart Starr, Kurt Warner, who made the Hall of Fame based on his postseason resume almost alone. No one won a couple league MVPs to go along with it. And surprisingly, Matt Ryan, who's been really good in the postseason. People forget about it. But the Aaron, if they win the next two games, jumps a tier in my own make-believe, but I think it's the right one, quarterback pyramid. I mean, Aaron goes from the level where he is no question from there on better than Favre. I think he already is if you were to rank him 1 through 8. But this is of the last 50 years. And then you start having, to me, a real Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning conversation. Because Peyton Manning, while he had way more regular season records, almost all the regular season records, Peyton Manning's passer rating dropped to the mid-80s in the postseason for his career. It took him until year 6 before he had a single good postseason game. Not postseason run. The year they won the Super Bowl, his first Super Bowl, his only Super Bowl in Indy, he threw more interceptions than touchdowns. He was just so good for so long, you knew he was going to cash in eventually. Finally, that Colts team had a good defense. Rodgers has been a sensational postseason quarterback. He is as talented to the eye test as basically any quarterback any of us have seen. If they win the Super Bowl, the other element of it is, while he won't say it publicly, he wins the argument about Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. That argument is now over forever. If the first year without McCarthy, when we were like, what's wrong with the Packers? Well, fair or not, what's wrong with the Packers becomes McCarthy was holding them back.
Yep.
And so there is immense amount on the board for Aaron Rodgers here if they can win this game as an upset and then as an underdog, and then they'll be underdogs in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. We already know that line would be around 4.5 points. So winning back-to-back games in upset fashion after beating Russell Wilson, kind of the new quarterback of the new era in the NFC, it's everything's on the table for him.
No, you're absolutely right. And bring up your quarterback pyramid. If Aaron Rodgers does pull this off and win the NFC Championship game, win a Super Bowl, that jumps him from 5th to 3rd. That puts him ahead of Peyton Manning in my mind, just because of competitive greatness, being at your best when your best is required. Aaron Rodgers has been phenomenal in the postseason. If he does this, if he pulls this off, if they win the Super Bowl, it will be because Aaron Rodgers played really well. So that's their only path in order to be able to win a championship.
If they win the Super Bowl, you would go Brady, Montana, Rodgers.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Chiefs, taking
on
the
Titans.
Again
in 2021, I'll point it out as well.
Again, much appreciated.
No problem.
On one side, you got the best passing attack in the league with Patrick Mahomes under center. On the flip side, Derrick Henry might be having the best rushing postseason of all time. Coach, who's the biggest key in this game, Mahomes or Henry?
To me, it's got to be Henry, because for Tennessee to have a chance, he's got to have a big game. And everything's going to be committed to stopping him and shifting the game into Tannehill's court. And if Henry can't produce at the level that he's been, I think that they really have very little chance of winning the game. But if he can be effective and either generate the big run that he had the last time they played, or more importantly, keep Kansas City off the field, that to me is the difference.
And I think that offensive line for the Tennessee Titans is going to play a huge role too, because that's really the engine of that run game. Everybody's been focused on this tear that Derrick Henry's been on, but I mean, that offensive line is allowing Derrick Henry to get beyond the line of scrimmage before he's getting first contact. So when you get a 250-pound running back building up ahead of steam, coming downhill on second and third level defenders, it's going to be hard to get him to the ground. But that's exactly what we saw against the Baltimore Ravens. It's what we saw against the New England Patriots. Patriots, what we saw in the regular season finale against the Texans. So if that offensive line can continue to do that, then it's going to be tough for the Chiefs to be able to get this group off the field, because the Chiefs, they're not very good in terms of run defense. I mean, I know that the numbers aren't awful when you look at them in totality, but if you look at yards per carry, they're one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. The way that they usually get teams away from the run game is by their offense being able to score a lot of points. If you get out to a double-digit lead, it's hard for Mike Vrabel and the Titans to stay with that running game. So I think the Chiefs are going to have to rely on creating some negative plays early in the run game, getting hits on Derrick Henry in the backfield. Don't let the big man get rolling.
But unlike Baltimore, where they abandoned the running game pretty early on in that game, I do think that Tennessee will stay committed. Even if they get down by 14, I do think they'll keep feeding the ball, because that's what they do, and that gives them the best chance to climb back into the game. They've shown that consistency, which I think a lot of teams run away from pretty early.
To me, the answer is clearly Patrick Mahomes. It's not because he's the quarterback of my team, but it's because I think we are getting a little overwhelmed in the moment with Derrick Henry. During the break, we were talking about Adrian Peterson, who all of us at the table look at as a true generational back, one of the most talented, do everything. He's bigger than everybody. He's stronger than everybody. He's faster than everybody. Coming out of Oklahoma, you could have made an argument. He should have been the number one pick of the draft. Derrick Henry's awesome. I know he's played like Adrian Peterson for the last month. He ain't Adrian Peterson. And we are talking about him as if he is. The story of he wasn't even, up until a month ago, the best player on the Titans this year. Ryan Tannehill was the story of the Titans' turnaround. They were one team with Derrick Henry in there when Marcus Mariota was the quarterback. And you mentioned this also off the air. Tannehill's numbers were off the charts this year. Led the NFL in passer rating. Led the NFL in yards per attempt. So I think the Titans are going to have to lean on Tannehill in this game, even if Henry's playing well, because people talk win time of possession. Titans really haven't been doing that. But time possession doesn't matter so much against Kansas City when you had 7 touchdowns, all of which were under 4 minutes. And yeah, 3 of them were on short fields, but 4 of them, they went 70 plus yards in under 4 minutes. Conversely, Kansas City, listen, the Chiefs have been one team for 50 years and one team for the last 2. Because they got Patrick Mahomes. They'd had Andy Reid for the beginning of this year. They had some amazing offenses. 13-3 3 team with Trent Green and Priest Holmes and Hall of Famers all over the offensive line. They'd had some amazing defenses led by Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. They had never been to back-to-back conference championship games. They'd never even hosted a conference championship game until Patrick Mahomes became their quarterback. The Chiefs can't win against any competent opponent if Mahomes isn't extraordinary. Now, fortunately for them, he's almost always extraordinary. He's had one bad game healthy in his entire career. So, to me, Mahomes has to have at least a B-level game, because the Chiefs don't have a great running game. To your point, they don't have a great run defense. The defense is improved, but it's still not a dominant overall unit. It's all based on what they do through the air.
But didn't we see the Chiefs win against a competent opponent without Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback?
Against the Vikings earlier in the year.
We've already seen it. The Vikings were a team that won a playoff game this year. So it's not like the Chiefs can't do it, but Pat Mahomes is...
When he was injured, yep.
Pat Mahomes is one of the best players, if not the best player in the NFL. But with respect to that, I think Derrick Henry means more, because I would look at these two teams side by side and say clearly the Chiefs are the more talented roster than the Tennessee Titans. And I do believe that the Titans' only true path to victory in this game is Derrick Henry being able to rush the ball for over 100 yards. If they don't do that, then they don't have a chance at being able to win this football game. I think that the Chiefs can have a way to win without Pat Mahomes lighting it up like he did in the regular season game.
And I don't think it's total prisoner of the moment, because he's had 150 yards 6 out of his last 8 games.
Yep.
I mean, that level of production is pretty impressive over that time span, and it's not like he snuck up on people either. People understood that they had to stop him, and for a lot of those little DBs, they have to make those business decisions every time he breaks loose, because he does carry such a big impact. I do think your point on Mahomes is well taken, but to your point, the only chance they have is Derrick Henry.
Well, I guess my only question would be, is if Mahomes has a bad game, Can the Chiefs lean on their running game? I don't think so. Not against this Tennessee team and not throughout the year, not with the personnel they have. By the way, Shady McCoy didn't practice again. It's no longer load management with Shady McCoy. It might be age and injury. If the Chiefs sell out against stopping Derrick Henry, is it plausible to say Ryan Tannehill could have a huge game? Well, he at least did it a few times this year, right? Like, we at least saw Ryan Tannehill to A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith. We saw times where it's like, wow, look at what Ryan Tannehill's doing. So that's oddly... Well,
the whole season's been, wow, look at what Ryan Tannehill's doing. And he didn't get to start to what, five games into the season, even though he had a really good camp. And if anything... Yeah, that could easily be the narrative. He has gone through the year of surprising people. Mm-hmm. So for us to come out of this game and say, oh, my God, look at what Ryan Tannehill did, I think that could easily be a discussion on Monday, and it would be a sad discussion for you.
Well, he won't be here, so it'll be a sad discussion for me is what it is.
Oh, I'm going to be here Monday because Chiefs going to win.
Want to play Take Your Pick, Kenny?
Absolutely. Let's do it, Jenna.
Here we go. On Sunday, we get to see two elite quarterbacks play in Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. So which of these former MVPs would you rather have on Sunday? Kenny, take your pick.
I'm going with Pat Mahomes. I think Pat Mahomes has played at a higher level throughout the course of the season than Aaron Rodgers. At this point, I think he's got the liver arm. And then just watching him be able to orchestrate that comeback against the Texans, I'm going Pat Mahomes.
Coach?
I give Nick a hard time. Pat Mahomes is a special talent. And he's been really impressive. But in playing against Aaron Rodgers and dealing with Aaron Rodgers, I can't not take him if I had those options, just because I think he's as talented as Patrick Mahomes and has done so many good things throughout the course of his career and has the experience advantage.
The experience advantage, and Rodgers is one of the best postseason quarterbacks. Even though he's only won Super Bowl, his numbers in the postseason don't take a backseat to anybody except for maybe Patrick Mahomes. So the answer is, of course, Patrick Mahomes. Coach Gibbs gave him a hard time, slow start in his playoff career. The win against the Colts last year, he didn't throw any touchdown passes. First half against New England, didn't throw any touchdown passes. In the six quarters since then, the Chiefs offense have scored 82 points in those six quarters. Patrick Mahomes keeps that rolling this weekend against Tennessee as the Chiefs make their first Super Bowl in 50 years.
All right, the two other quarterbacks playing Sunday have far fewer accolades than Rodgers or Mahomes. So who would you rather have Sunday, Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan Tannehill? Kenny, take your pick.
Jenna, by the smallest of margins, yes. I'm going with Jimmy G. Oh. I'm just going to trust that Jimmy G, he's going to be more like the guy we saw in the regular season game against the Packers than the guy that we saw in the playoff game last week against the Vikings. But I'm going to go with Jimmy G just because I think he's overall the more talented player. And based on the sample size that we have throughout his entire career, I trust him more than Ryan Tannehill.
I think these quarterbacks so perfectly fit the personalities of their team. And I'm going with Ryan Tannehill for that reason. I think that he has gone throughout the course of this season surprising everybody and really making a strong case for himself as the leader moving forward. And I really like that about him. And I think this is another one of those situations where nobody's giving him a chance and he's thrived under those conditions.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill is not going to throw the ball to the other team the way I think Jimmy G might. Ryan Tannehill throughout this year has been sensational. In the playoffs, they haven't needed him to be. In the regular season, he led the NFL in pass rating, led the NFL in yards per attempt, and I understand a lot of that's because teams were worried about stopping Derrick Henry, so he had open throwing lanes. But Jimmy G scares me in a bad way if I'm a Niner fan, because he is going to give you an opportunity. Defenders are going to get their hands on the football at least twice in this game. Now, will they catch it? What will happen with it? I don't know. Tannehill, I think, can play a cleaner game. Ryan Tannehill is my answer.
We just going to act like we ain't see Ryan Tannehill throw a pick against the Pats?
No, well, oh, okay. I understand. Right. Okay. Listen, but right. It's not. Okay. See, Jimmy G's thrown an interception in 11 of the games he's played this year.
We get to see two elite tight ends Sunday in George Kittle and Travis Kelce. Both of these guys led their team in receiving yards this season. Who's the best tight end in the playoffs? Is it Kittle or Kelce? Kenny, take your pick.
I'm going with George Kittle because he doesn't only help me in the passing game, he also helps me in the run game for Kyle Shanahan and that outside zone scheme. You need a tight end that's able to capture the edge against those outside linebackers and defensive ends, and George Kittle has proved that he can be an asset in that regard. So I'm going with George Kittle.
You know, if I was drafting, I would take Kittle because he is a more complete tight end, but in the playoffs and over the course of this year, to me, Travis Kelce has been unbelievable. And those numbers that he has, it's not like he's sneaking up on anybody. It's not like George Kittle has a little bit less cachet and gets a little bit less attention, maybe not as much now, but Travis Kelce, to put up the numbers that he's put up and the way that he played hurt last game really impressed me as well.
He put up a season this year that's only been put up by, I think, three other tight ends in NFL history. Jason Witten did it. Rob Gronkowski did it once. There's one other that I'm forgetting. It might have been Shannon, actually. No, Tony Gonzalez, actually, is the other one. He's the only tight end Travis Kelce is with four straight 1,000-yard seasons. He is the best tight end in football. He might not be the most well-rounded. I agree with you in that regard, but he is a 98 out of 100 as far as receiving ability from that position, and he has a better run after catch, different than Kittle. Kittle runs through you. Kelce can actually avoid you a little bit, and he obviously has the benefit of playing with the far better quarterback. My answer is Travis Kelce.
All right, the Titans and the 49ers both have elite rushing attacks. The Titans do it on the back of Derrick Henry, while the Niners use more of a committee approach. Who's got the better passing, the better rushing attack, rather, San Francisco or Tennessee? Can you take your pick?
I'm going with the sledgehammer, Derrick Henry, because I know what he's going to bring to the table. Not a lot of defensive players want to tackle this guy, especially when he gets to the second level. I mean, I like Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida, but I mean, it's running back by committee for a reason. None of those guys are special. Derrick Henry is.
I like the fact that San Francisco can get production out of three different guys, and I think that's one of their advantages. But to me, it's Derrick Henry as well. And there will be a commitment to the running game throughout the course of this game, even if they do get behind. But to see someone that big run that fast when he breaks out into the open, it's not something that you get a lot of.
No, aesthetically, Derrick Henry is far more impressive. But for this weekend, I like the Niners' backfield more because, as you guys are mentioning, because it's by committee, one guy getting dinged, one guy having a rough game doesn't kill him. The Titans, Derrick Henry hasn't had a rough game in a very long time, but what one bad hit, one series where he can't play, their second punch it's not Mostert to Coleman to Breida, when Breida at one point was a starter and looked like he might be a Pro Bowler in this league. He's now been relegated to third string. So it's running back by committee. I don't think because none of them are any good. I think it's because all of them are, and I'm not saying that's what you said. No, that's not what you were saying. I'm just saying sometimes you do things by committee because no one's good. Sometimes you do things by committee because everyone's pretty damn good, even if none of them are special, as you were saying. So I'm going to say the 49ers backfield.
Back to Jimmy Garoppolo now in the 49ers. For the first time in his six-year career, Jimmy G played all 16 games. Remember back in 2018, his season was cut short because of a torn ACL. But listen to the silver lining Jimmy found when looking back.
Things have a way of working out. And so I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the ACL and everything. And yeah, we got Bosa out of it. So, I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off, I guess. But it's, things have a way of working out, I guess. Just this ride is crazy.
Indeed. All right, Chris, what do you think is the bigger key to the Niners' win, Jimmy Garoppolo or their defense against Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the bigger key just because there's more variance in terms of what you're going to get from him game to game. We know what we're going to get from the 49ers defense. It's one of the best defenses in the National Football League. They're really good on third down. I think they were second this year, only allowing opposing teams to convert 33% of the time. So, I mean, that 49ers defense, we know they can get after it up front, and the guys in the secondary can hold up in coverage. So the biggest question is what you're going to get from Jimmy G in the passing game, because you know Kyle Shanahan, he wants to run that same outside zone scheme that his father ran in Denver for all of those years, won them a couple of championships. But we're going to have to see their quarterback be able to make some plays in the passing game in order to get him to the Super Bowl. The question is, can Jimmy G avoid making the critical mistakes, and can he make the requisite throws that are going to be available to him throughout the course of this game? Can he take advantage of those moments? Right. That's the thing that we don't know.
See, and so the reason that I think it's the Niners defense is actually a similar logical path as yours in picking Jimmy Garoppolo, in that I feel like we kind of do know what we're going to get from Jimmy Garoppolo. I understand he had a couple great games this year.
So including against the Packers.
He was very good against the Packers. That one, that wasn't even one of his two best games, though, because they were in such an advantageous position in that game. But the back and and fourth game against New Orleans, he was sensational. And week 17 against Seattle, where they could have gone from the one seed to the five seed, he was quite good as well. So I'm not saying it's impossible for him to have a great game, but I think what is much more likely against this Packers defense in the most pressurized situation of his career is that he has a Jimmy Garoppolo-ish game, meaning a little over 200 yards, throws a pick, throws a touchdown, that he's fine, that he's not great, that he's not awful. What is going to determine to me this game for the Niners is, can the Niners defense do what we saw it do the first half of the year, what we saw it do in week 12 against Green Bay, what we saw it do against Minnesota, which is turn otherwise quality offenses, grind them down to mush. Like, that to me is, I don't think the Niners defense can just play a good game and win this game. I think they got to be great again, because I think the Packers offense is going to be so much better. I think they did learn from their mistakes of week 12. I think Rodgers is not going to fumble the ball in the opening possession. I think they are not going to go three and out, three and out, three and out, as you've talked about a lot. That is the equivalent to another turnover. I think the Packers are going to learn from their mistakes of week 12 and have some counters for what the Niners were doing defensively. And when we show those highlights from week 12, when you watch them on this show or on Undisputed the Herd, we're all going to show a lot of the same Aaron Rodgers sacks. What happens a lot is the right side of the offensive line collapses and Rodgers has to move, or when he's moving to his right, there's somebody already there. That is in part because, like what you see right there, that is a sack from the right side of the offensive line. What you see right here is he comes over there, and by the way, well, that's everybody getting him. But this next one, you're going to see, again, pressure on the right side of the offensive line. That's not Brian Bulaga, right? Yep. You know, and so Brian Bulaga is their second-best offensive lineman next to David Bakhtiari, their left tackle. How much will the Niners be able to counter that? Will they move some of those guys to the inside? Will they run some stunts in games? Because the Packers are going to be in better position to defend the Niners' strength, their pass rush, than they were in the Week 12 matchup.
Yeah, but the Niners' pass rush is actually also going to get a boost from the regular season matchup because D4 didn't play in that game. So, I mean, as good as I think Brian Bulaga is, he's a lot better than Alex Light, who's their backup right tackle. But I don't think the offensive line for the Packers can hold up in one-on-one pass rush situations consistently throughout this game. Matt LaFleur is going to have an answer to be able to neutralize that defensive front. The answer ain't letting Aaron Rodgers stand 5 yards behind the center and throw the ball and waiting 3 seconds in order for the receivers to get downfield and finish their routes. This is going to have to be a situation where Matt LaFleur moves the pocket. He's also going to have to throw in some screens, throw in some smokes to the wide receivers, things to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands and out to the perimeter of that 49ers defense quickly. It's going to have to look like basketball on grass to some degree in order to frustrate those rushers from the 49ers, because if the 49ers get you in a game where you've got to drop back to throw the football, then they have a significant advantage. And that defensive line, because they have so many guys that can rush the quarterback, can come at you in waves. The Packers have no interest in repeating what happened in week 12 when Aaron Rodgers got sacked 5 times. That's why I think Matt LaFleur has to have an answer. And the answer, in my opinion, should be getting the ball out of Rodgers' hands quickly.
All right, Kenny, want to play a little over-under?
Why not, Jenna?
Why not? Here we go. Starting with the NFC Championship game on Fox. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had to carry the Packers this season like he's been forced to in seasons past. However, on Sunday, Green Bay may need a vintage Rodgers performance. Kenny, will Rodgers have over or under 300 passing yards?
Jenna, I'm going under just because I do think the Packers are going to pull off the upset. And if they're going to do it, they're going to have to sprinkle in a little bit of the running game on top of Rodgers being special. I think he flirts with 300, but he doesn't get quite there, so I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I feel badly about my answer now after I defended Aaron so vehemently the last segment. But I say under as well, and the thought process is he only had one 300-yard game in his last 9. It really hasn't been the way that they've been winning. And hopefully this is a lot closer defensively so it doesn't have to be a shootout for Green Bay.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be Aaron Rodgers plays sensationally for them to overcome the discrepancies in talent at other spots, so I'm over. And by the way, that means someone other than Devontae Adams is going to have to step up, whether it's Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, whether it's Jimmy Graham taking the momentum from icing the game against his former team Seattle into this week, or Aaron Jones on a lot of screens out of the backfield to discount that Niners pass rush. The only way the Packers can win, I think, is if Aaron Rodgers has a monster game, so I'm saying over.
All right, to the AFC now. Pat Mahomes threw for 446 yards. and three touchdowns in Week 10 against the Titans, even though his Chiefs did come up short.
Wanted to get Suggs in the waiver wire. Good loss,
will Mahomes throw for over or under 350 pass yards on Sunday?
I don't think he will, Jenna. And it's not that he's not capable of it. It's just 350 yards is a lot of yards, especially in a championship game. I'm going to say under. I do think Kansas City wins this game handedly, but I don't think Pat Mahomes throws over 350 yards.
Nick bet that he's going to throw over 350 yards in the first half, which is pretty impressive. I do think he actually, I took the over here.
Wow!
Because this is what they do. They throw the ball, and then they throw the ball, and when they're doing that, they throw it again.
More.
So the odds are that he should hit that milestone.
Yeah, it also helps his best player in football. Coach got this one right, over 350 yards passing. So nice. I don't think he'll have over 350 in the first half. The first three quarters, but he's going to have to get it in the first three quarters because I imagine he'll be watching the fourth quarter with the baseball hat on side.
Wow, disrespectful.
Massive lead, just hanging out, yes. Making plans for Miami, maybe coming on the show. Patrick, you got time, Super Bowl week, come on the show. We're going to be down there with all the Fox crew. Come on,
Patrick,
over.
Please come on the show. Nobody loves you more than Nick Wright. Seriously.
Over 350 yards passing, light work for Patrick Mahomes.
All right, on the flip side, the Chiefs will try to slow down Derrick Henry, who has an NFL record 377 rushing yards through two playoff games.
That's insane.
Katie, will Derrick Henry have over or under a buck 50 on Sunday?
Jenna, I'm selling everybody short today, so I'm going under with Derrick Henry. Listen, he just finished off an historic three-game stretch, going over a buck 80 in each of those games. I mean, asking him to flirt with that again, I just don't see it happening. Plus, I think this game gets away from the Tennessee Titans because the Chiefs are scoring points, so I think they'll have to rely on throwing the football. Less touches for Derrick Henry. That's why I'm saying under.
I think that he'll hit it. He's averaging 160, I think, over the last eight games.
Over the last eight games?
I'm pretty sure.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure my facts are right there. So a little bit like we talked about with Mahomes, this is what they do. And they're going to feed him the ball. And it's not all going to be just long grind-out drives. He's prone to hit one or two big ones a game, just like he hit the 68-yarder on him last time.
He hit the 68-yarder on him last time. He hit a 66-yarder on the Ravens. But despite that, I'm under because I think they are going to have to abandon, not fully abandon, but abandon the run somewhat because the Chiefs are going to have such a big lead early. I think Tennessee, it's not their style. If they win the coin toss, man, they should take the ball to try to set the tone that way. If you don't, it's going to be 7-0 Kansas City before you touch it. At 14-0, you're going to have to abandon the run somewhat. So I'm under. And is Derrick Henry going to have the greatest four-game stretch in the history of the NFL? Maybe. He's already had the greatest three-game stretch. I mean, maybe he will. He would have to pass O.J. Simpson and Walter Payton, two of the 10 greatest running backs ever. Those are the only guys to do in four games what Derrick Henry's on pace to do.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.